that came forth during the this year in this new first of the new series that we'll be covering in these couple of weeks is what I call the power of the cross. And in the power of the cross, it ties to some things that God is doing, especially in these days that we are living in. And the years 1976 to 1986 has been God teaching regarding the power of His Word. And during those years, we encountered a faith movement and we learned about the power of the spoken Word. And we learn about the power of words itself. And of course, the power of God's promises. Where we learn to believe it because God says it. And that settles it. And things will come to pass according to God's spoken word. Faith is necessary too. And in the years 1986 to 1996, we learn regarding the things about the power of the Spirit. And how the Spirit of God move. And in the years 1996 to 2006, and three more years ago, it's the power of the blood. And during this time, we learn some things regarding the power of the cross. And it's a complete 7 years of understanding what the power of the blood means and of the fellowship of His sufferings. There's some things that God began to show about the power of the cross that we want to bring forth to you. Now let's look first at our main text in Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, "But without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." Now, definitely, whatever you do, doesn't matter whether it be working for God, whether it be doing the works of God, or in any area of God's work, there is no way that we can please God without faith. Bible tells us here, without faith is impossible to please Him. And in a sense, from the years 1976 to 86, we learn about faith in the Word of God. Faith in the Word, faith in the promises, and faith through the Word of God. And how powerful it is when God speaks, you believe it, and many people experience great breakthroughs by believing God's Word. And then in the years 1986 to 1996, we learn about the power of the Spirit of God. And in operating those things, we still need faith. As we know in the Bible, there are places where it shows us in Acts 3, even the healing of the lame man at the beautiful gate, Peter himself confesses it was through faith, through the supply of faith, the operation of God, faith through the operation of God, that brought the man to be healed. In Acts 14, when Paul was preaching at a certain place called Lystra, there was a layman who was hearing his sermon, and the Bible says Paul perceived he had faith to be healed. So even operating the gifts of the Spirit, faith is involved. But it's a different area of faith from faith in the Word. Faith in the Word, faith in the promises, faith through the Word is a different dimension from faith in the manifestations of the Spirit and faith in hearing the voice of the Spirit. Believe me, everything takes faith. See, when God gives you an experience, you can doubt it. You could doubt the experience. A lot of people, when they are baptized in the Spirit and they speak in tongues, after a while, they doubt whether the tongues they received was from God. And so any experience can be doubted by God. And of course, we realize that the enemy can give false experience and wrong experience. And sometimes people cannot differentiate between emotional experiences from spiritual experiences. We understand those things. But we are talking purely about bona fide spiritual experiences. Real spiritual experiences, doesn't mean that you automatically will have faith in them. Because when you begin to have the manifestation of the Spirit in your life, that you still have a free will and a free choice. And your free will and your free choice and your mind may even doubt what the Spirit manifests in you. And you could even doubt when the Spirit of God speaks to you. See, hearing the voice of the Spirit and reading the Word and hearing God speak through His written Word are two different things. They are two separate things. And even though we talk about working with the power of the Spirit, faith is still necessary. And so if God has a gift in your life that He operates and you have a certain experience in God, let me encourage you, you must never doubt. Because when you begin to doubt the experiences that God has genuinely given you, the manifestations will diminish and even cease, although the gifts remain dormant and they are never taken from you. For the gifts and the callings of God are without repentance, the manifestations may cease. Because your own doubts quench the Spirit of God. And I've known many people to, because of fear and unbelief, quench the Spirit of God and not allow the gifts of God to operate in your life. It could be any gift that God operates in your life. Any experience that God has given to you. Any quickening that you experience. Any sensing of the Spirit. It still takes faith to believe that it is God. And how will you actually know that it's God? First, check it with the Word of God. Whether it's in line with the Word. Secondly, you got to check it with your own conscience. Whether it flows with the love of God and with your own conscience. And then thirdly, you got to actually test it out. To see whether it is God manifesting in your life. Now I'm sure everyone here has received some measure of the Spirit's manifestation. Now how many of you, not necessarily now, but from time to time in your life, have your hands burned? You felt a burning sensation in your hand. How many of you felt it here? Can I just see a show of hands? Yes, thank you. And how many of you felt sometimes a sort of burning sensation over your heart area or over any other part of your chest area? Okay, some of you have. And how many of you here sometimes felt a warm all over your head? Right. So there are many, there are unlimited ways of manifestations of the Spirit. Now, when you experience that, of course the first thing is you got to eliminate the natural. I got one time when I was preaching in Melbourne long, long ago, and it was winter, and I didn't know there was a heater up above me. So it was a small little group, and I was preaching. And the more I speak the word, the warmer my shoulders got. And because we are human and you cannot sometimes differentiate between physical and spiritual experience because all you have is senses. And so the first thing I did is, wow, this is hotter than normal, right? And the first thing I did was to check whether there was a natural cause, right? You don't want to go into something and because it was a natural cause. And so I checked and I found this heater right above me. Right? So it was not a spiritual manifestation. It was a physical manifestation. And it reminds me of this guy called A.L. Gill. He came to our church many times. And he's one of those who used to operate bookstores all over Australia. And he had a bookstore operating in Lakewood Church, John Osteen's church. And before he went full-time into traveling, speaking, preaching ministry, he's an elderly man with white hair and a tall man, about 6 feet plus. And I remember the first time he came to our place and he stayed in our house. All our beds are like your beds here, 6 feet, that's all. And so when he slept in our guest room, and we went to check it, see that he's comfortable, we saw his legs sticking out about 1 feet. Because there was no bed that was 7 feet. And he's a very nice man. And somehow he made himself comfortable. And he had to put something to make sure his feet were okay. But he told me this story about how he prayed for this person who was very desperate for the baptism of the Spirit. And so he went to this house. And this lady was really desperately seeking the baptism of the Spirit, seeking for nearly 15 years. And so she was just, you know, closing her eyes and praying and waiting on God. And he and another one of our fellows were there. His friend was there. And they all had their eyes closed and they were just about to pray. And at that very moment, the neighbor's cat came through the window. Everybody's eyes were still closed. And then neighbor's cat, you know, jumped onto this woman. And then they jump onto this woman. And this woman said, "Hey, I got it! I got it! I got it!" And for some strange reason, when the cat left, she didn't know the cat. It was a cat. And she said, "I felt something! I felt something!" Right. And she suddenly began speaking in tongues. Right. Up to this day, he never dared to tell the woman what that sensation was. It's a furry little cat. And so sometimes, for some reason, physical things help some people. Like, you know, some of you have strange experiences in your bathtub and when you're bathing. Because that's the only time you're relaxed enough for God to speak to you. Right? All the other times, you're just too tense and the Spirit of God just couldn't speak to you. And so, physical sensations need to be eliminated. Once they're eliminated and you know that they're spiritual sensations, you must not doubt what God is trying to speak. And some of you have different types of spiritual sensations because you never have faith in them, because you have doubt up to this day. And hear this words carefully. Until Jesus come, if you still doubt, you will never operate in these gifts of the Spirit. Because without faith, it is impossible to please God. You have to have faith in order to please God. And once you realize and begin to realize this is Him, then you flow with Him. In the same way, when you learn to operate by the anointing of God on your life, you learn to sense the anointing of God. Just as, let's say, right this morning, there was a wonderful flow of the Spirit as the worshippers were leading. And we all went into different things, and we had the communion, we had the offertory, we have the song. And you notice that as we flow into different things, you sense different parts of God's presence. There are different measures of God's presence, different parts of God's presence. And I sense that for this message today to come forth, we needed a different area of God's presence to come, which is why I had all of you to sing in the Spirit. Because as you sing, I sense. And normally, I do not preach until I sense a presence of God come all over my shoulders, like He's resting upon me. And then I would begin preaching. As long as I cannot feel that and sense that, I will not preach. I will just keep singing. I will just keep worshipping. Or I'll just keep praying. Or I'll do something until I sense the manifestation of His preaching anointing. That's when you begin to operate like that, you begin to understand why Catherine Kuhlman says that when we operate the healing gifts, it's the same thing. See, when we begin to have healing crusades or healing services, there's even more demands made. Because as long as you cannot sense the manifestation of the Spirit, and the word manifestation is a biblical word. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, it says that the manifestations of the Spirit are given to each one as the Spirit will. So it's a biblical word that we are using. And the reference in 1 Corinthians 12 is about the gifts of the Spirit. Among them is gifts of healing and the working of miracles. And so obviously, for the gifts of healing and the miracles to work, you need the manifestation. And so in a miracle service, it's even more difficult, because if you don't sense anything of the Spirit, you can't actually move in anointing. And sometimes you may have to sing for 2 whole hours before the manifestation comes. Sometimes you sing half an hour and it comes. Sometimes you start at the beginning and it comes. There have been times when we are used to worship and then message and then healing the gifts of the Spirit. But sometimes there have been sometimes when you get up and there was no anointing to preach, but there was an anointing to minister healing. And you begin to minister healing, you flow as the Spirit wills. However, the method and the order He chooses, one principle still remains. unless he manifests, you can't move in the spirit. And so Catherine Kuhlman would wait